Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of where you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over there, contact us at an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So, amen and amen. Thank God for another blessed day. And wherever you listen to me at, hey, I ask that you would join in with me in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we humble ourselves on this blessed day that you have blessed us to assemble together once again. And dear Lord, we ask, Lord God, that your spirit will be with us and that every heart and every ear that is tuned into this broadcast will sense the presence of the Holy Ghost. Dear Lord, I pray that you would drop knowledge, give understanding, bring forth revelation in the name of Jesus unto this message that I'm about to give this day. So, Father, I pray that everyone who is tuning in and listening in, and I give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. I thank God for this opportunity to come before you guys today. And I was kind of trying to find out how should I start this, because this is a very important message. It is a very important work in these last days. The first thing I want to say to you guys, that especially for those of you who are first-time listeners, and especially if you go back, one of the things about Blog Talk Radio, it records all our broadcasts. And for those of you who are first-time listeners, you say, hey, I know the Bible. The Bible contains the Word of God, but there are two other books that the Lord had caused to come forth that also contain His Word that is going goes with the Bible. They are added witnesses because God's protocol is the mouth of two or three witnesses that every word be established. Okay, you know, some go to Revelation. Say, well, you know, the Lord said, whoever add, yes, if something is being added that is changing the original interpretation or meaning of the scripture and causes confusion, yes, that's true. You don't need to add. But this is something doing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not adding to cause confusion, but he is adding to let us know that there are others he witnessed to besides just the Jews in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers. Because we know that the Bible came by the way of the Jews. And God gave his commandments. It records his dealing with man and all of that. But what the Lord also showing that, and in these other two books, one is called The Record of Nephite and one is called The Word of the Lord. These other two books are witness number 2 and 3 that goes along with the Bible, because it's also a record or recording of the Word of God, his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, and how he is dealing with man also in those two books. Now, when you put the three together, you would notice that there's no contradiction, okay? It's just like, for example, if God told someone way over there in the South Pole that I'm a healer and it's my will for all men to be healed, and then come way to the North Pole, find somebody else there that he's going to talk to, could he not say the same thing to the one in the North Pole that he said to the one in the South Pole? Sure he can. He's God. Now, if the one in the South Pole, where the North Pole rather, came back and said something different than what the one in the South Pole got, then you got a problem, okay? But when it's God in the work, what he told the one in the South Pole, he can tell them over there in the North Pole. Remember, the Lord said in the book of Amos that God doesn't do anything without what? Revealing to who? His prophets, okay? So when it comes to the protocol of God, his protocol has always been what? In the mouth of two or three witnesses. Deuteronomy 17, Deuteronomy 19, Matthew 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. So that two or three witnesses also can deal with also meaning nations. So therefore, the Jews and the people over there in Jerusalem were not the only ones that the Lord dealt with. We got to understand that. And what God shows is that he is sovereign and he can deal with whomsoever he will. But he always followed his protocol, which is what? The mouth of two or three witnesses, okay? So he shows that, hey, I dealt with the people over there in Jerusalem, gave them my commandments, my statutes, my judgment, and guess what? I've dealt with the people over here on the American continent during the prehistoric times who I gave them what? My commandments, my statutes, my judgments, and I dealt with them, known as the Nephites, and guess what? I've been sending my heavenly angel, the Elijah, that I spoke of in Matthew 17, Malachi chapter 3 and 4, that I would send before my return, and what? Giving him to give unto the people my words, my commandments. Come together, three witnesses. Amen? Now, before I go any further, I want to give you some information. For those of you that first time listen, say, hey, I want to read this record of Nephi and this word of the Lord you're talking about because I want to see it for myself. Well, guess what? The Lord wants you to see it. You know that he wants you to see it. He wants you to see it and ask him, okay? Now, the place that you write to or call in is the Church of Christ Elijah Message. The phone number is 1-800-752-1507. That's 1-800-752-1507. If you don't get no one at that number, you can try this number, 816, area code 816-252-2343. Area code 816-252-2343. That is the Church of Christ Elijah Message, located at 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. Okay? Now, the word of the Lord thus far is the book of God, of the Lord Jesus' commandments and his judgments and statutes, and it is categorized into messages. And it is 120 messages, starting from February the 4th, 1927, going all the way to April 1994, 120 times, meaning that it was 120 times thus far that the Lord had been sending the Elijah with a message to mankind, to his people, the day that will be of the bride, okay? Now, you can get that in single messages, which is 75 cents per dozen, okay? The other book called The Record of the Nephite, once again, which is God's dealing with man over here on this continent, and he had a people over here who was called the Nephites, okay? And they were people of the house of Israel, of the house of Joseph. Because remember, Israel had 12 sons, and one of his sons named Joseph. So they come out of from Joseph. And we know Joseph was also of the house of Israel. So the book called The Record of Nephite is $8, okay? Now, some of you here that say, oh, okay, they asked for money. Listen. We don't come on a broadcast asking for money. Now, these prices I gave you, listen, y'all know this day and time, it takes money to print this stuff off, okay? So let's get real, okay? Now, if we were begging you all and each time coming over here saying give the money, this and that, that's a different story. But listen, to get these things printed off, to get it to you, it costs money. Now, if any of y'all know anything that we could just print it off for free, and it don't cost nothing at all, that you don't have to have money to get the machines to do it and stuff like that, please let me know. The number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, I gave you that information So you can either call in or write in and get a copy and get these things yourself, these books, and that you may see and ask Jesus for yourself. Now, however, you must understand this. Number one, Jesus told us to tell you about this work that he's doing and to point you to him, okay? Amen. Now, which brings me to the message tonight that I am dealing with here, and I'm coming from one of these two books called The Word of the Lord. Now, Jesus had been sending the Elijah thus far 120 times. Like I said, from the year 1927 to 1994 was the last message that we got that Jesus sent through his angel messenger thus far. And one of these messages, which is called Message 102, which was the 102nd time that Jesus sent the Elijah. And he sent him April the 5th, 1985. And I want to read one of these verses out of here, which goes to the message tonight. And for those of you that are listening, even those of you that know about this, I ask that you ask the Lord about this when I'm going to bring to you, present to you. And for those of you who are first-time listening, you're a Christian, listen, we got to understand something. For us to get more revelation from the Lord, we got to have a mind open to the Lord. Now, I ain't talking about having your mind, per se, open up to people, but to the Lord. In other words, we can't be stuck to the denomination we part of or if it don't fit the teaching of my church mentality. Because if you like that, your revelation from the Lord is going to get cut, okay? You understand that? You're going to fall short of revelations. Because the Lord, in what he's revealing in these last days to his people, is to his people that have the open mind to the Lord. Not that denominational mentality or I'm stuck with whatever in my church say mentality kind of thinking. That ain't going to kick it, people. Now, I want to read something to you that the Lord, one of the things that the Lord said in this message that he sent. He says, and this is where he had given this angel the authority to speak. Now, remember, angels of the Lord don't come on their own time. We got to keep that in mind. They don't come whenever they just feel like they need to come. They don't say, oh, by the way, I think I go visit Brother Nate down there on earth, see how he's doing. Amen. They don't do that. If you ever have a visitation from an angel of the Lord, rest assured the time he visited you was the appointed time that God told him, go visit so-and-so. Which means that you do not have to worry about saying to Jesus, you know, your angel said to me last night, and Jesus go, whoa, wait a minute. Who you said? Your angel. When he come? You ain't got to worry about that with Jesus, okay? Amen. Now, this is what he says. And remember, the angels of the Lord, when they come by the authority of who? Of Christ. And they speak. They are given authority to say certain words or specific things or whatever God is giving him to tell. So this is what the angel said. He said, I speak that all Christendom may flow together and abide by the Bible, revealing great truths, the coming forth of the record of Nephites, the book, and the word of the Lord. Behold, the books that will lead all mankind to eternal hope and salvation, deliverance in the Lord. Now, the title of this message is The Extra Oil Causing Christendom to Flow Together. Okay? And the reason why this message is titled this, because first of all, this word that Jesus is sending from heaven is the extra oil. This is the extra oil, people. This is the extra oil that the people, the believers, going to need in order to stand in these last days. This is the extra oil that the people are going to need in order to be the bride that Christ is coming back for. Okay? Now, bear with me. Some of you just listen. Now, this is what I want to say to those of you who are first-time believers listeners, rather, and for those of you who already know and read the word of the Lord and perhaps already accepted it, one of the things that came to me that the Lord Jesus dealt with me about back here, and I mentioned it to you guys on the broadcast before, that the Lord has showed me concerning the word of the Lord, okay, the messages in the word of the Lord. And one of the things he showed me, and this helped me to understand when I just read to you, the angel said, I come that all Christendom may flow together. And so the Lord began to show me through these messages, one of the things that is said or spoken of in these messages that's going to cause Christendom, and get this, the Christendom is going to be represented or made up of the faithful. Remember that. The faithful in Christ is going to flow together. And the Lord was letting me see what he was sending in these messages, in his word, in these messages, that's going to be the cause of the faithful Christians to flow together. And this is one of the things he showed me that I noticed that. When you read or study, because in the messages we are told in different messages in the word of the Lord to study these messages, okay? Now, if we want to break down what study means reading with the intention of learning. It means meditate, and it means to search, okay? So all three of these things together will make up study. If you were to study these messages, even if you ain't read all 120, even if you study deeply most of them, you're going to notice something as revealed by the Holy Ghost in these messages that's very important that will show us how Christendom, the faithful, is going to flow together to be the bride through this word that is being sent through the angel messenger. Because in these messages, one of the things you will notice is that the Lord in these messages speaks to the thing that has been causing separation and division among his people. Let me say that again. In these messages, when you study and read them, you will notice that the Lord, in sending this message through his angel, he speaks to his people about the things that has been separated and divided. In other words, what he speaks is settling disputes among Christians. Did you hear what I'm saying? I'm not talking about among other religions. I'm talking about among the Christian community. This is one of the things that's going to cause Christendom to flow together, because when all Christendom take a hold of this extra oil, what Jesus is saying in this message here, that all Christians, the faithful, is going to flow together. He speaks to that which is controversial among Christians or have brought division or in some cases have not been seen to be clear. Because understand, he speaks to us in this word of the Lord, as he said, in our language that we may understand. Now you say, okay, Brother Nate, you got to take me a little deeper. What do you mean? Glad you asked. Let me give you an example. I'm going to turn to one of these messages here to give you an example of what I'm talking about. And I think it's going to be the 86th message. One of the messages, in the 86th message that Jesus sent July the 31st, 1968. Now, I'm going to give you an example of what I mean. Okay. Amen. Now, this is what he says, and I want you to hear this close so you can understand what I mean about in these messages, he is speaking to those things that are controversial or causing division among believers. or proclaiming believers among Christianity. And he's by him speaking to this and settling the dispute, all that take a hold of it is going to flow together as being one. Now listen to this. He says, the great stumbling block put out by the mind of man is to say Jesus Christ is that prophet like unto Moses, when it is I, John the Baptist, the forerunner, the messenger called the Elijah, which was for to come. A prophet represents, and Christ is God himself. I represent him. Notice that. So Jesus, hallelujah, is telling us that Christ, or that he was never a prophet. Do you know how the Christian community is divided over that? Do you know that some Christians say he was a prophet? Yeah, some Christians say he's a prophet. So that's been a debate. That's one of been in the things of the debate among in the Christian community. You got some say he's a prophet, some say he's not. So what did Jesus do? He speaks the word that settles the dispute. Amen. And so he settled a dispute by letting you know that Christ is God himself. And he let you know that a prophet represents. That's why Jesus was never a prophet, because Jesus didn't represent God. He is God, okay? Incarnated in the flesh. If you don't see what I'm saying, don't worry about it. Ask the Lord about it. You'll see. Because this has been a controversial issue among Christianity. That has the Christian community divided. Okay? You know, even, if I'm not mistaken, even the Muslims said Jesus was a prophet. So you got some Christians agreeing with the Muslims saying Jesus was a prophet. But we got to understand something. A prophet could not die for the people. An apostle couldn't die for the people. An evangelist, a pastor could not die for the people. Okay? Amen. Jesus was never a prophet, people. Amen. He goes on to say, the carnal mind will not see this, the selfish will not see this, nor they that set themselves up, but they that God has set up will see, will come to understanding, obey, and follow through in this work. You get what I'm saying? See, the word of the Lord that Jesus is sending is settling disputes or things that has caused division and separation among the people of God. One of the other great things is that the word of the Lord speaks to how Christ wants his church set up. Now tell me that y'all ain't noticed that that ain't been a big debate among Christianity. We got so many different colorful names, okay? Amen. That we call each other. And then on top of this, we said, well, the Lord said name it this way. And if you notice and really study the scriptures and what people say, the Lord said name it this church and that church, you would notice that it is not scripturally sound, or some of the things that people are saying God said name it is a contradictory. Amen. Let me give you another example that the word of the Lord, Jesus sent his word. And this word here settles dispute among people. It's a settle the dispute among his people. Okay. Another message called the sixth message, September 1st, 1928. I want to read one of these verses what Jesus said. Okay. And he says, verily thus says the Lord unto you, whom I love, I also chasten, that their sins may be forgiven. But with the chastisement I prepare a way for their deliverance in all things out of temptation. I have loved you, wherefore you needs be chastened, and stand rebuked before my face. For ye have sinned against me a very grievous sin, and that ye have not consider the great commandment in all things that I've given unto you concerning the building of my house, for the preparation whereof I designed to prepare my apostles to prune my vineyard for the last time, that I may bring to pass my strange act, that I may pour out my spirit upon all flesh. But behold, verily I say unto you, that there are many who have been ordained among you whom I've called, but few of them are chosen. They who are not chosen have sinned, a very grievous sin, and that they are walking in darkness at noonday. And for this cause, now put your ear close to this. And for this cause, I gave you commandment that you should call your solemn assembly, that your fasting and your mourning might come up unto the ears of the Lord your God. Now, you say, well, Nate, Brother Nate, what's so big about that you talking about? Well, notice that the Lord Jesus, through his angel, called for a solemn assembly. You say, well, what's so spectacular about that? Well, notice that the solemn assembly was mentioned in the Old Testament. Okay? As straight word for word, I haven't seen it mentioned in the New Testament. Now you say, well, okay, once again, why is that so important? Because you have some Christians today, if you start anywhere from somewhere in the Old Testament, they are so quick to say, we're a New Testament church. We're a New Testament church. Amen. And when you tell them, say, well, you know, the Lord wants his people to come together in a solemn assembly. Well, that was called in the Old Testament. Yeah, but that was in the book of Joel. But even Joel would tell you, say, even talk about the last days, the end time, where the Lord said, hey, we're going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. But see, you got some Christians, just because something is mentioned in the Old Testament and not mentioned in the New, they automatically say, we're not under that anymore. Give you another example. Tattoos. Now, most of your Christians would agree that, and if I'm not mistaken, Leviticus 19 talks about making markings in your flesh, and that can be applied to not having the tattoos. And doing these particular markings in your flesh, and they were cutting their hair a certain way. And the reason why this was spoken, because these other nations was honoring their gods by that. So one time I heard on Ask the pastor was approached with the question, well, is it wrong to get tattoos and all that stuff, you know? And one of the things that the pastors them said, they said, well, we understand it was like kind of mentioned in the Old Testament, but it ain't mentioned in the New Testament, you know, and I think one of them went on to say they was all right, and they're going based on it's not mentioned in the New Testament. Well, once again, when you look at the solemn assembly, and maybe I missed it, but I haven't really seen it been just center point speaking on in the New Testament, but it has been spoken of in the Old Testament. But see, the Lord, through the Elijah, has sent and said it's still valid today. But once again, you have some Christians who say, oh, that was Old Testament. You know, we ain't got to keep that. And see, God let you know what is still valid, okay? You have on one side of our certain Christians saying, that solemn assembly was just for them back then in Joel time. You know, that was in the Old Testament, blah, 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 no more of that. And then you may have some Christians on the other side of the aisle saying, well, I think it's still valid, you know, and you have this separation, this dispute. And so the Lord settles it when he sent the Elijah to say, I gave you a commandment to have a solemn assembly. Let you know, solemn assembly is still valid today, even though it was given to Joel in the Old Testament. This is why I told people many times on the different broadcasts that, hey, you just can't take the Old Testament and throw it away because you're talking about we're a New Testament church. There are some things that the Lord gave even the prophets in the Old Testament about the end time today. So it would really be, you know, bad for us to just throw away the whole Old Testament because we're claiming we're a New Testament church. And I understand what you mean by we're a New Testament church, but you just can't disregard the whole Old Testament. Okay? Because the prophets of old, and in many cases in the Old Testament, the prophets of old gave a little bit more detail about certain things that would happen in this day and time. Do you hear what I'm saying? Than in the New Testament. Okay? See, there's some things given in the New Testament, but there's certain things to me that God, through the Old Testament prophets, gave a little bit more detail on certain things, okay, that will happen in this New Testament daytime, okay? Amen. And so when people talk about, well, tattoos is not mentioned in the old, in the New Testament, but then in the word of the Lord said, be not conspicuous in attractions. Now, that conspicuous in attraction, that means trying to get attention, be drawing attention, you know. He said, not a good works will lead astray. See, that can deal with, hey, y'all ready for this? Even the type of clothing, because we got, in the church, we got so much disrespectful clothing wearing that's drawing attention. It's ridiculous. And you can draw attention with these particular tattoos that you have on you, okay? So the Lord speaks today. He said, be not conspicuous in attraction. Not a good work. It will what? Lead astray. Amen. That's what Jesus is doing, people. He is settling disputes by the giving of his word that is causing separation and division among his people. Amen. Now, if you got your Bibles, let's go to the Bible. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We're going to look at verse 1, Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. And look what the word of God says. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. It says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to them and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become a little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, check this out. The disciples, who are all supposed to be, now the disciples represent leaders. And get this, can also represent leaders who are supposed to be together, serving Christ. Sound familiar? Different churches today who claim to be Christians. Okay? And the disciples representing the leaders who claim to be together as one in Christ, but divided on who's the greatest. Sound familiar? Because you got a lot of churches saying, we're the ones. No, we're the ones. No, we're the ones. We're the ones. Okay? Too many claiming to have to be D1, okay? And at the same time claiming, well, we all serving the same God. But at the same time, we're looking at ourselves to be D1s. And so they're arguing about something that's nonsense. But notice that Jesus gave the word to settle the dispute. And you said, what was that? The first thing he gave in his words to settle the dispute was that he let them know what was more important. You said, well, what do you mean? He said, except you be converted and become as a little child, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. So in other words, you need to worry about entering the kingdom first instead of worrying about who's the greatest. See, Jesus know how to give the right word to settle disputes and that which caused separation. See, this thing, this argument they was having, it was nonsense, but it was causing separation. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest in the kingdom, Jesus? You know, at least they had enough sense of mind to come to Jesus and ask him, you know. But they wanted to know who's the greatest. And Jesus let them know, actually, he let them know, said, you know, y'all arguing about something that's just foolish, okay? Amen. Because Mark records that they disputed about who should be the greatest, which has happened or going on among Christianity today. And remember, this word is to the Christian community. I'm not talking about these other religions out here. I'm talking about the Christian community who is separating, dividing in these disputes and arguments and stuff like that. And amen. God told me to set up a church and name it this. God told me to set up a church and name it that. And his words speaks to those divisions plainly. And it settles the dispute. And the thing is that all that take hold to this extra oil is going to flow together. Period. Plain and simple. Just like I told you about and read to you what he said about Jesus was never a prophet. And sometimes some things may seem a little sketchy in the Bible. You say, well, what do you mean on that? For example, I think that's in Mark, if I'm not mistaken, in Mark, where Jesus said, a prophet without honor say it be in his own country. Well, of course, if you were to read that at face value, if I'm going to say it like that, you would think that Jesus was calling himself a prophet. But when you study John chapter 4, John was actually showing you that Jesus was not calling himself a prophet. He was letting you know that he understand how prophets felt. He was testifying on the behalf of prophets. He was not saying he was a prophet. So what happened? What I read to you in the word of the Lord. The Lord sent his angel to speak plainly that Jesus Christ is God and he was never a prophet. Period. Because why? Christianity is divided over this. And it has even been a stumbling block. He said that's a stumbling block put out by the mind of man that said Jesus was that prophet like unto John. Okay? Which that's not true. Because if we will read what he said in the Bible, Matthew 11, Luke 7, that Jesus said there is not arisen a greater prophet than John. So if Jesus was that prophet like unto John, then Jesus just glorified John over himself. Because he said there's no greater prophet. There have not risen a greater prophet than that of John. If Jesus was a prophet, he would say, there have not risen a greater prophet than me. Or than the son of the father. But he didn't say that. He said John. And so he speaks plainly in this extra oil. He speaks plainly things that is called separating division. Now, for you guys to understand it, you will really need to study deeply the word. Now, when I say that to you, I'm not trying to put off to you like I know everything. I don't. And thank God I don't. Thank God there's room for me to still learn more. I want to learn more. Amen? I love when Jesus revealed any kind of mystery to me. So I want to keep that communication line open and not tear it down. Okay? Amen. So when you're studying the word of the Lord and you really get into it, that's one of the things you're going to notice. You're going to notice that things that he speak on, when you think on it, you say, you know, this has been like a conflict among Christians, you know, and all that. Well, Jesus, he sends a word, extra oil from heaven, that speaks to settle the disputes. See, like I said, at least the disciple had a presence of mind to take their dispute to Christ instead of just sitting there yapping with one another. They ain't going to come across nothing. At least they went to Christ, and Christ went to settle it, and he settled it. He gave the word that settled the dispute. And with the first word he gave was letting them know, you know, the greatest thing is to enter the kingdom. You need to be concerned about entering the kingdom instead of worrying about which one of y'all going to be the greatest. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Because we got to remember also at that time, Jesus hadn't been to the cross. He hadn't been crucified yet. So, any of the Old Testament, you're an Old Testament saint or whatever, or, you know, before Christ had been crucified, you died before you were crucified, you went into the place of Sheol, awaiting for Christ to be crucified and rise, that you may be delivered from that place. Not no going straight up to heaven, you know. So he letting these disciples know, said, you know, y'all need to be concerned about, first of all, the most important thing is entering the kingdom. Then he turned around and told him, said, now except you humble yourself as a little child, the same as the greatest. So he was letting them know, said, the way y'all acting, you weren't acting humble. So, you know, that should have made them all think, okay, we all arguing about who the greatest, disputing about this thing. We ain't being humble. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read something from the other book called The Record of Nephi. We're still on the subject where Jesus settling disputes, speaking his word to settle disputes. That's what the word of the Lord does. We're just giving some, here's some examples in the Bible. And now from this book, The Record of Nephi, how Jesus spoke his word. And the last thing, like I said, I read in the Bible, that's in Matthew 18. You can read Mark chapter 9 and Luke chapter 9 also, that shows that through all three writers testify that Christ spoke the word that settled the disputes. That's what he does. Okay? So if any of us among Christianity had that dispute, let's take it to Jesus. Okay? Let's take it to him. In this third, in this Record of Nephi here, this is recorded by Nephi, and this is when Christ, after his resurrection, he came over here to this continent to visit his people over here. Now, some of you might go, wow, what? Really? Come on, man. Well, my thing to you is that, what, Christ couldn't do that? I mean, did he need air travel, like a plane, or? He had to ride a donkey for some days to get over here. See, we got to get out of this only me, all that syndrome, okay? We got to get out of this Christ only dealt with one people, and that was over there in Jerusalem. We got to get out of this, people. Got to remember, Israel had 12 sons now, not just one. He had 12. And one of the things that's going to open your eyes is how it's going to be more records to come for to show how he's dealing with the other tribes. Well, anyhow, Jesus is over here on this continent and dealing with his people over here. And the record said, and it came to pass that as the disciples of Jesus were journeying and were preaching the things which they had both heard and seen, talking about his followers and his pupils and people that was over here, and were baptizing in the name of Jesus, it came to pass that the disciples were gathered together and were united in mighty prayer and fasting. They come together, united in mighty prayer and fasting. And Jesus again showed himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in his name, which this is what Jesus said, do. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, what will ye that I should give unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, we will that thou wouldest tell us the name whereby we should call this church. For there are disputations among the people concerning this matter. So the people were disputing about what they called the church. To get the name of the church. And the Lord said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, why is it? Now listen to this question he asks here. Why is it that the people should murmur and dispute because of this thing? Jesus, once again, Jesus like, okay, now this don't make no sense. What? Why are y'all arguing about this? This even, shouldn't even be no dispute. He going to say, have they not read the scriptures which said, you must take upon you the name of Christ, which is in my name, for by this name shall you be called at the last day. And whoso taketh upon him my name and endure to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Therefore, whatsoever ye shall do, ye shall do it in my name. Therefore, ye shall call the church in my name, and ye shall call upon the Father in my name. that he will bless the church for my sake. Did you hear that? Jesus gave the word to settle the dispute. The people were arguing about what to name the church. And you didn't hear me read that Jesus had to go off and think about it for a while. No, he had the answer right then. And he made it as plain as, I don't know, plain can get. He didn't speak in no cold messages or something like that. He made it plain. But he asked no question for it. He said, why are y'all disputing about this? Once again, when he says this word, the Lord, the extra oil, he comes to speak in our language, you know, to be plain. And what it's doing, it is settling disputes that has caused a division in Christianity for years. And this is one of the ways that he's going to cause the Christendom to flow together. Because all that is in Christianity, when they take a hold of this, they're going to flow together as one. And see, this word of the Lord shows how Christ wants his bride set up. Oh, I know some. Oh, my goodness. I know some of you will want to hear that because you're like, oh, now y'all claiming y'all got the thing. Y'all got to eat. Y'all got to. We got what the Lord Jesus said. Praises go to him. I mean, on none of the broadcasts could anyone rightly say that you have heard me or anyone else on the broadcast quote about the church we belong to. We have uplifted the word. I mean, too many people now bragging about the churches they belong to. I mean, I'm not here to join the category. Too many people. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for Jesus. You know, the Lord showed this to me, I don't know if I had to guess, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And that's just guess. I don't remember the exact time. I know it wasn't a long, long time ago. I know that. And he started showing me this because it had me to notice. I said, Lord, I noticed that in these messages, you're speaking to certain things. You know, it's like it's certain things. Okay, for example, if you were to read it with a carnal thinking, certain things Christ will start saying in there, and then he'll start talking about something else. You'll be going like, what did that got to do with what you was last talking about, Lord? What going on here? But when he gives you understanding through the Holy Ghost, he lets you know that he was speaking to things that was controversial or causing division among his people. And he is showing how that they're going to become one because when they receive this plan and this pattern, see, this extra oil, once again, is the pattern that Christ is giving to where he wants his church set up. In Christianity, we've been preaching about the second coming of Christ, which is true. We've been preaching that he's coming back for his bride, which is true. But we're not talking about in unity how he wants his bride set up. And when you read the word of the Lord, it goes in conjunction with what's in the Bible. But what he does is he's speaking it plain. Because you got some people in some churches saying, well, we'll take a little of this truth, but we ain't going to take some of that truth. And then others say, well, we'll take some of that truth, but not some of this truth. And what happened is they have made it complicated among the people when they should have. That's why when I read to you the regular Nephite, Jesus was saying, why are y'all disputing about this thing? Okay. You're making it something when it shouldn't be. You know, as they say, you make a mountain out of molehill. They, you know, and that's what we've done in Christianity. And that's one of the reasons why we so separated and divided, okay? And then to really make one another shut up, we'll say, well, this is what God gave me. That's to make the other man shut up. But see, the Lord is settling this dispute. He's settling it. And guess what? He ain't through. I told you, he has sent the messenger 120 times thus far. Amen. And he got more times to send him, okay? Glory be to God. Thank God for the blessed word of the Lord today. I wanted to share that with you guys on the broadcast. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget tomorrow night, the full gospel message with Brother Eddie Lee. Look for the advertisement. Lord said the same tomorrow at 7 o'clock p.m. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. So, I thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.